On today's program, my special guests are Karen Burr, founder of Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar, and Adrienne Villegas, independent contractor with Healing Touch Practice. We're going to be talking about wellness, healing energy, and a lot of other cool stuff. I'm Richard Brendan, and the conversations begin now. Welcome to the program. Before we get to the conversations, here's a word from a few of our sponsors.
This WICR program is underwritten in part by Georgetown Natural Foods Market, located at 4375 Georgetown Road on Indy's west side. They carry organic produce and bulk body care products such as shampoo, lotion, soaps, and shower gel. Their kitchen serves soup, sandwiches, hot entrees, and carryout food. Plus, they have a juice bar. Georgetown Natural Foods Market, located at 4375 Georgetown Road on Indy's west side. Their website is georgetownmarket.com.
Richard Brendan, Bringing Love to Life, is underwritten in part by Natural Awakenings magazine. Each month, Natural Awakenings takes a practical look at the latest natural approaches to nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. The magazine also covers the products and services that support a healthy lifestyle. Natural Awakenings magazine is a free publication and can be found at most healthy lifestyle outlets. Their website is awakenindy.com.
Karen Burr and Adrienne Villegas, welcome to the studio.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Karen, this is your first time here. Actually, you said first time on campus at UND.
Yeah, first time on the campus. It's beautiful.
So thank you. They'll be glad to hear that. And it's growing, it seems like, every semester by the fact that parking is hard to find in more high-rises and apartments and condos are being built. Adrienne, you're the pro because you've been in the studio before. And you totally dominated. So
you are so funny today.
Also, you two are very close friends. And so we joked about how I should just open up the mic and let you talk about what you really want to talk about. But for the sake of our listeners, we will harness that energy and talk about the power of energy, the power of holistic wellness. And Karen, I did take a tour of your business that you and Sarah Redmond started, Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar, which I was so glad to see. That was my first time in that building that used to be Jonathan Bird's in Greenwood. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things happening there.
It's
what
beautiful.
An amazing coffee shop downstairs, too. Mm-hmm. Can you share the vision of your business and what it's all about?
Yeah. So I have been an esthetician for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And a holistic health practitioner with a specialty in the energetics of food and GI health for about 10 years now, and then an herbalist for 2 years.
Okay.
It's continuing practice.
And what, first of all, what got you started in all of that?
Cystic acne, actually.
Ah, okay.
Skin disorders.
Yeah.
And then,
so your own health concerns.
Yeah, my
okay.
own health concerns
yeah.
and the very broken model with that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do that and then learn more. Mm-hmm. And then it just progressed into mm-hmm. there's such a broken system
yeah.
where things could be integrated together in such a better way to help people instead
yeah.
of just treating the smoke but really putting out the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you're really part of, to me, this wellness revolution that's mm-hmm. taking place on the South Side, because when Jen and I talked, gosh, several years ago, we talked about how everything seems to be north side,
yep.
maybe a little bit of west side, but nobody ever talked about the south side. And having lived in Greenwood myself, and my daughter, two daughters still live down there, it's gratifying to see that Greenwood's getting hip now.
There's so much, you
yeah.
know, and that's kind of what drove me. I was just so fed up with even myself having mm-hmm. to drive outside of Greenwood to mm-hmm. have anything that was considered natural or holistic or anything that was really health related.
Yeah.
And people had asked, you know, why are you guys opening in Greenwood? Mm-hmm. And I spent 9 years in a salon and spa environment down there that I was able to turn into that because the owner let me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So yeah. that became very integrated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then when I started in herbalism, I really needed an apothecary kitchen.
Yeah.
Because we were doing all of our blending out yeah. of my guest bedroom. That
wow.
was insane. So now, thanks to...
I love hearing
to,
those stories.
Yeah,
from humble beginnings.
Yes, from humble beginnings. And now we have this beautiful spa where we
yeah.
custom blend herbal therapies, and we work with other physicians and local functional medicine doctors in Greenwood.
That kitchen is amazing.
It's beautiful. It's where all the magic happens.
Yeah. Well, I've always heard that you're the person that makes things happen.
Yeah, I am. I do.
And your husband would probably roll his eyes and say, yeah, mm-hmm. she does.
He's usually right there with me.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So that was a big step of faith, launching a business.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah. But when did you know that, you know what, no matter what, we need to do this, you and Sarah? How did you and Sarah hook up?
Well, she worked with me. We were both at Studio 135, which is an integrative salon and spa.
Right.
And I think we finally knew when we just outgrew ourselves. Mm-hmm. We didn't have space anymore. And there was such a demand and such a need for what we were doing that we weren't going to grow until we had our own space.
Mm-hmm. And when did you open?
We opened the second week of July.
Yeah, so you haven't been around very long.
No.
And it's gorgeous. How is the South Side receiving?
It's amazing.
Really?
It's really hard to keep up, which is an amazing problem to have.
That's wonderful. Were you surprised by that, or did you yourself see it slowly change and the interest slowly rise all those years on the South Side?
I wasn't surprised at all because there's a very large group of people in the Greenwood area who already think that way. They want that stuff. They're looking for it. Mm-hmm. They want to raise their children like that. Even the mayor, Mark Myers, is wanting more of a health-focused community. He just doesn't really know how to reach everybody. Mm-hmm. So no, I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see how people have come together.
And that really helps when you have someone like the mayor and others who are embracing this and, in fact, encouraging it, because they're hip to the fact that this is important.
Yeah.
And we need to start having all of this down here so Greenwood's a destination as well as these other places around Indianapolis.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you and Sarah then together decided, let's launch this thing. Let's create something. Where did the name come from?
I was actually sitting at a coffee shop while my son was in a pastry class. Mm-hmm. And I was online reading about an herbal school, and they were talking about a materia medica. Mm-hmm. And that means in a journal of plant knowledge. And it hit me. I was like, that's it. That's exactly what we are. We are a materia medica. So that was it.
And how did you select the location? Beautiful location.
Actually, we hang out at Brick House Coffee Shop a lot because...
So it started at the Brick House.
Well, it's a local fair trade. It's a more organic coffee shop, and they approached us.
Yeah. I had no idea it existed until Adrian and I met, and I thought, wow, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. And then I had no idea all these businesses were in there, too. So that's great as well.
It's a beautiful location. It's amazing.
And everything, it's right off the interstate as well. Yeah. So people who are listening and live in the Indy area, it's really easy to get to, whether you're on the south side or even north side, east side, highway, and straight over. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So talk now about the specifics of what you guys do there and what you also provide in terms of products.
So we specialize in skin therapies. Mm-hmm. So acne, psoriasis, eczema, aging skin. We also specialize, because it's all tied together, to GI health, you know, the brain gut connection. So we will have someone who can come into us for, let's say, psoriasis or acne, and even eczema, all of it. And our first approach is, I want an IgG test. I want to see what delayed food sensitivities they could be having. And then a lot of it, I'm going to say 98% of the time, it's something extremely emotional, some type of trauma that they're holding on to, some type of an emotion that they're holding on to. So we're never, here, you need this product. That's the opposite of what we are, and that's where Adrian comes in. So when people come to us for what they think they're coming to us for, we unravel. We unpeel that onion.
Okay.
We unravel them, and then we help them heal through emotional techniques that come from Adrian, through healing touch therapies. We do herbal therapies, our number one. We do nutritional therapies. We take them on grocery shopping tours. We do farmers market tours. You know, it's really holding them by their hand and teaching them how to change their life.
I like hearing about the tours, because I've shared this before with Rick Monteith and some others.
Love Rick.
That when you're new to this, as I was many years ago, I would walk into a health food store, and it felt like a foreign country to me. I didn't connect with anything. And now people, I think, are getting more hip about that. But how cool is that, that you actually create tours to take people
absolutely.
On?
Absolutely.
So they're
you
not afraid. This is what it is. This is a section over here. I like that.
You know, we've become so far removed. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is quick and convenient, and pop something in a microwave, go through a drive-thru.
Yeah.
And then the disconnect is there because they don't understand why they feel like crap every day of their life.
Right, right. Okay, so let's say a listener hears about this interview and they call up or they just stop by and they want an appointment. Let's say it's some kind of a skin issue. What is the first step after that?
When they come in after the appointment, they'll sit with us and have a consultation. They're usually with us for over an hour.
Okay.
So we have to get to know them.
Okay.
But it's a constant relationship after that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just getting to know them and how can we help them.
Yeah.
And we work with a clinical herbalist, a medical doctor with functional medicine training, a naturopathic, licensed naturopathic doctor who works with hormone issues, and we work with a functional medicine spinal correction chiropractor.
Okay, which doctor do you work with?
Dr. Yosef Mohammadi with Community Network.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Adrian, let's talk about the role you play then when you're addressing some of these things with these individuals. I've known you as kind of owner of Heart Smiles, a healing touch practice, also an intuitive. Talk about what you bring to the table then when you're meeting these people who are really looking for some answers that they're not finding anywhere else.
Well, I usually direct them back to themselves. I make sure that they all understand that the stresses are the way that we, you know, or the health issues that they're experiencing have everything to do with the way they are feeling inside. And with emotions that they haven't been able to work through. And the energy work is an amazing tool for that, but also, you know, teaching people how to listen to themselves and to become their authentic selves and to let go of some of the ideas that they have to play a game or, you know, live the way someone else wants them to live. Is compromising them. So I just get them back to their self. I just bring them back to the center. How do you feel about this? And, you know, I remind them of their self-talk very often.
Yeah.
That self-talk is very important. That, you know, that our self-talk becomes our behavior and we start creating our world with our self-talk. So,
yeah, because how much of that self-talk is unconscious because we talk to ourselves in a certain way so much we're not even aware of it until somebody is able to call attention to it.
For sure.
And are people surprised, though, when they meet with you, for example, and say, wow, this is a whole lot more than what we thought we would get?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would imagine. Okay, because I had no idea this is what you guys offer.
They usually don't. I'm like, you're never going to understand it until you just experience it.
Yeah, so really, it is less about the product. It's like, no, we really want to see you healed. It is possible for that to happen. We want to know you and the inside of you as much as you can, but we want you to know that as well. Before then, you can make, let's say, a diagnosis.
But we don't make any kind of diagnoses at all, for sure.
But guidance, I guess, then.
Guidance.
On the path.
Yeah.
Okay.
To kind of help them get back on their path. You know, some people stray a little bit and let things like their diet and their lack of sleep and their stress and things like that kind of just take hold of them, and they feel like they have to live in those patterns. And so we try to bring them back in and remind themselves of who they are so that they can, you know, live their life authentically.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple things, and both of you can chime in on this, and that is healing energy. We've talked about a lot on this show, but there's still a lot of people who are either don't understand it or misinformed. That actually, at a high-tech company I spoke at today for a talk, that came up as a question afterwards from somebody, I think, in San Francisco who was piping in because they have offices everywhere. And it showed me that well-educated, even techie people who tend to be outside the box and funky and young and all that still don't really understand, like, vibration. What do I mean by vibration? Energy. And then this whole world that is growing by leaps and bounds, and that's energy healing. So share with us what each of you are learning about that, not only for yourselves, but also as you treat other people and perhaps even family members. I don't know.
You want to go first?
Well, I try to explain to people that energy is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and the best way for me to explain energy to people is, say you've just walked into a room and someone's had an argument, and you can just feel it. Mm-hmm. It just feels really stiff, like something just happened. Or when you walk into a room and there's a big party going on, and it's like, wow, feel that vibration. It's just amazing. Yeah. And everybody knows how to understand that. Mm-hmm. So when you get them on that level of energy, then mm-hmm. they start to get it. Mm-hmm. When you start trying to explain to them that they can have stored energy, mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, okay, but they don't really understand it until mm-hmm. they start to release it and feel it.
Okay. Adrian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talk about the energy of the nervous system, mm-hmm. The electrical mm-hmm. impulses that go through our body that connect our receptors and our feelers and you know, they ultimately produce cell growth, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And what I've come to understand is the stresses and the traumas that we experience in life, when we hold them onto ourselves, they kind of become a dimmer on yeah. our body's natural energetic system that's producing our cell growth and our homeostasis and really keeping us going. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned how to, you know, help to boost the energetic system, the nervous system, and to help clear out those energies that have created the trauma that exists on the body. Mm-hmm. And it just gives that light a much stronger pathway. And after we're finished, my clients have a higher sense of their self, you know, their capabilities. So. Mm-hmm. They have a new sense of their own energy, their yeah. own energetic system, and they're able to give more of themselves to the things that they are passionate about and yeah. give less of themselves to the things that are hurting them.
Yeah. I asked Karen this question. I'll ask mm-hmm. you the same question. How did you get on this path that you're on right now?
I had the experience of having oh. energy work done.
Oh, okay.
I was in college, and I okay. also had children at home, mm-hmm. and I think I was very stressed out, and so a family member was learning and practicing healing touch, so mm-hmm. I allowed her to do some work on me, and when I was finished, I really did not feel like the same person that laid on the table. Mm-hmm. I was worried about papers and my children's behavior and, you know, probably my marriage and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. anything that was going on in my social life. So, mm-hmm. but when I sat up, I felt very clear in a very sense of everything's fine. Everything's yeah. going to be okay. You know, these are stages of life and yeah. we'll get through it and it'll be fine. And yeah. back to work I went without the same stresses that I lay down with.
Yeah, so both of you really experienced what you're talking about mm-hmm. and what you're providing for other people. And I think that's the best thing to happen to folks.
For sure.
And now they're experiencing that from you all. And hopefully being ambassadors and voices for a better way of living to their friends and family. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's very cool.
I call it realignment for your soul.
Yeah, I like that. That's mm-hmm. exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Karen, talk about the role of nature that it plays in healing process.
The role of energy with nature?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. There's the way that I look at nature is the energetics of nature, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I look at the energetics of the plants that I use. Mm. So, you know, if Adrian's working on someone with high anxiety, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. I can match an herbal therapy for what they're needing. So she's using energy medicine to help them calm their nervous system, like she's talking about that mm-hmm. electrical. Mm-hmm. And then I can match the energetics of different plants provided from nature to help do the same thing on an internal level.
Much like people have used crystals.
Yes!
Only yeah. this is with
they have
plants.
A beautiful, yeah, yeah, plants have a beautiful energy.
Yeah.
You know, some people need something that's very uplifting and to mm-hmm. give them energy and to help mm-hmm. them focus with mental clarity. Mm-hmm. Other people are vibrating so high they can't focus on anything, so mm-hmm. we need to kind of calm them, mm-hmm. calm that nervous mm-hmm. system. So then we reach for our plants that are very calming for them.
Okay. Which is why you just can't take a presenting concern and say, oh, we have this product for
nope.
that, which is what they will get at a lot of stores.
Yes.
We know that, and they might be good mm-hmm. stores out there, but you don't have qualified people helping you. You first help them determine, oh, my God, this is it. Then you know mm-hmm. what to create in your magical kitchen.
And it just seems so denatured. You know, when I can grow a plant, Sarah mm-hmm. and I both do this, mm-hmm. when we can grow plants and go harvest those plants for this person.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more in tune to nature do you get than that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. well, I've harvested this comfrey for you today mm-hmm. simply mm-hmm. because this tissue needed that. Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah.
you know, I've harvested fresh lemon balm for you and I'll have it dried and ready to go in 2 days, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yeah.
that's just the epitome of nature.
Yeah. A question for both of you. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, opinions about the new rage of, and it seems to be growing, CBD oil? And now even the businesses that are starting from that.
I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah?
I mean, the marijuana plant, uh-huh. cannabis, has been used for centuries.
Right.
You know, it has it has over 80 different medicinal benefits, mm-hmm. but they figured out how to capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of frustrating for me when I see companies jack a price up and make it into a pyramid.
Right.
That's frustrating for me.
Right.
Because it takes to me, it's not genuine anymore. It's more about how can I build my pyramid? Even though it may have started out that way, mm-hmm. it becomes about the dollar and building. Mm-hmm. So I really like to. There's some local companies that are beautiful
yeah.
that are not that way. And they're harvesting the plants and they're making the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful plant.
Mm-hmm. It's funny the way you described what companies are doing now with that reminds me of even the church in general.
Mm-hmm.
How it started and how what we do with it now with religion, and man, women like to put their hands on it, and how can we make money? How can we make yeah. money? And it does take away from that.
Yeah, and yeah. there's a lot of plants out there mm-hmm. that have a lot of the same characteristics,
mm-hmm.
but right now we're all focused in on one because it's been, you know, mm-hmm. it's still controversial.
Do you, at your business, do you use CBD oil?
No.
Okay.
But we have a local company that's not an MLM company
uh-huh.
that we prescribe, that
okay.
we will, yeah, pretty much prescribe
yeah.
for people when they want to use CBD.
Okay. Okay. But I love the fact that of using all these natural plants and then having your own. Are you one of the few businesses that have your own kitchen like you do? Are you creating everything here in the Indianapolis area?
As far as I know, we're the only one in the state.
Oh, wow.
That does
yeah.
what we
impressive.
Do.
That's a marketing pitch right
know
there.
It. Yeah, I don't know of any other. There's a lot of amazing herbalists out there, and even, but I don't know of anyone else who has an herbal apothecary spa.
Right, right. Yeah, because when I actually saw the location and Adrian gave me a tour of it, I was amazingly impressed. I mean,
thank
I
you.
Really want to encourage everybody to come down to visit Materia Medica Herbal Blending Barn. By the way, the address is 200 Bird Way, BYRD. I guess Jonathan Bird's got a name on something mm-hmm. there. Bird Way, Suite 215. A lot of you in the Indy area will remember that area as the former Jonathan Bird's cafeteria. But I'm telling you, it is so much more. And I was even looking at some of these other businesses in that building, too, like an event place where you can have events.
It's beautiful.
You guys are upstairs. What a mm-hmm. great location that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they put our skylights for all of our plants.
Oh, how sweet is mm-hmm. that? Nice, nice. There's something coming up that's very special that you all are involved with. It's the Indy Holistic Wellbeing Fest. Jennifer Suffern's been on the program to talk about it, but I'd like to hear about it from you guys, what your experience has been maybe in the past, but certainly this one coming up on October 28th at the Biltwell Event Center, which I believe is in the downtown area.
Yes, it
yeah.
is.
Okay.
We're super excited to have it at this new center. This is where the Veg Fest is held.
Uh-huh.
So, which is a huge event.
It is, yes.
Huge. So when we were sitting in meetings, trying to find where we're going to have this,
uh-huh.
someone threw out that, and I'm like, this could be gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the city's largest holistic health event that they have, but now we've merged the local food scene into it because mm-hmm. it goes together.
Yeah.
You can't have holistic and not have whole foods in
right.
there.
Right.
So, and it will have a lot for, it's all for families,
mm-hmm.
people who are more socially aware, very health focused.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a lot going on with children and families. Chef mm-hmm. Wendell will be there with his mm-hmm. team Wendell,
yeah.
which is over 400 families.
Wow.
that are a part of that.
Yeah, it's been a joy over the years to watch Wendell morph into who he is now, where really he's like the guru for children.
He is.
Yeah, and he has an amazing Facebook page, which I see you post on quite frequently.
Yeah, I created
Okay. Well, that's why it looks so cool. Wendell just does Wendell. I mean, he just lights up a room when you're around him. I always say it looks like he channels Robin Williams every time he gets excited. So, But there's a lot of great ideas on that Facebook page in terms of recipes for kids, which years ago we didn't have provided for. So really, there's no excuse for families not to eat and live healthy.
There really isn't. You can find a natural, chemical-free version of pretty much anything.
So talk about the hours of the Wellbeing Fest coming up on October 28th.
The VIP hours will start from, will be at 11 to 12.
Okay.
And that's where people will get, it's $10 a person. They will get different swag bags and have their own isolated access to all of the vendors before the crowds start flooding in. We're expecting around 500 people this year.
Yeah. You know, well, last year there was a lot of folk there. Yeah. I was really impressed with
that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm sure it'll grow even more this year.
Yes. Yeah. And after that hour, then it's completely free to the public to come in.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And
like I said, it's just so great to have Jen put on an event like this where families can see what is out there for them.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
There's also a lineup of various speakers that people can listen to and also enjoy some food, correct?
Yes.
There, which I don't think they had last year.
No,
there.
We did not. That's where we needed. We needed to bring that part in.
Yeah, it's a wonderful facility, having been there for VegFest, and it can hold a lot of people. So wouldn't it be cool to even exceed the 500 number?
Yeah, it would be.
Absolutely. So where do you see wellness going specifically here in the Indiana area? As, you know, sometimes we're always last to the party kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's always West Coast, East Coast. But having been in consciousness here for about maybe 20 years now, I have seen it continue to grow and grow and grow. And that is so exciting to see.
I have different opinions on that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Everyone always starts with food. Mm-hmm. You know, people when people are tired of the medical model and I need to change my diet, it always starts with that. So you have the beginners who are putting their time and effort into trying to learn how to eat better.
Okay.
And then you have those who have, that's a common sense thing to them. Mm-hmm. So they've already surpassed that. You know, they're eating clean, they're either working out in a gym or they're doing yoga, and then they progress into more of the energetics of their food. Mm-hmm. What are they? Are they lathering themselves in chemicals as far as, you know, hygiene products? Mm-hmm. They evolve into that. So once their food becomes clean and then their lifestyle becomes clean, then they want to clean up their thoughts and their energy and their minds. So it's like a progression, and I'm already watching it happen. Everything is such a beautiful fluid progression, and then that's why, you know, the work that Adrian does has become so popular, because you already have those people who've already figured out the first half, and now they're going in to figure out the second half.
Yeah, Adrian, we talked about the energy healing that you do and the experience you had and the gift you now have, but you're also an intuitive. And I don't know if you use that term or not, but a lot of my friends and myself, we use that term when we describe you. How did that happen? And how do you receive information that then needs to be shared with the people you're working with?
Meditation.
Okay.
Meditation is key. I meditate on a daily basis. I'm, you know, having going through emotional things in my own life. And I really try to center myself and find the truth in all of it, so I don't allow it to pick me up and carry me away and make a mess.
Yeah.
So, you know, staying focused on the work that I do, that's key. So if I can bring myself to my center in my meditation and start connecting with my highest self, the part of myself that has, you know, success programmed in, connecting to that part of myself, and then, you know, identifying all of the resources that I already have and how I put them together and how I can use my own journey to help teach other people on their journey, help them to clear out their hindering patterns and create, you know, patterns of life so that they can be creative and so that they can, you know, live a life that they were designed to live. Mm-hmm. So in my own personal journey, you know, I've just kind of made notes. I make notes everywhere I am. I have a notebook. You know, I'm always trying to learn from my environment, always doing self-reflection. And so it's like a constant walking meditation. It's like meditating through life and being an observer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, finding things that... places that I've had experiences and things that have helped me to grow and to offer that to others, you know, and just really step out of the human ego and competition and be a servant to help others so that they don't get caught up in the emotional messes that keep them from being present to their life and, and to be more progressive and to create this reality, this place that we all want to live in. You know, where we are at peace and we are living healthy and we are happy with our jobs and we are loving with our relationships and we're our highest self with our children and our highest self with our family. So all the things that I have been through myself, I just try and give that.
Yeah. And how cool would it be we take everything that you guys have shared so far today, and if more and more people get on the bandwagon, I mean, we can't have healing in the world until we heal ourselves.
Yes,
we know
absolutely.
That. But that's where it starts, and I've always believed, I've kind of shied away now from the big movements. I've always felt like it's a slow, quiet inside job, one by one by one, but that's how revolutions start. People are so disheartened, let's say, about our country, what's going on. I mean, I'm included. But if we change where we are now and become more loving where we are now, first by loving ourselves, loving our bodies, coming to Materia Medica down in Greenwood, having energy healing sessions, that will contribute to a change even in this country.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's some cool stuff right there, let me tell you.
I know.
Now, Karen, do you do speaking, public speaking, and promoting what you're about? And not only just your business, but your passion about what you're about?
When I'm asked to, yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And we love, Sarah and I love to host events. And just do everything we can to create awareness.
Okay. So if people want to get a hold of you or learn more about the business, what are some what's some contact information?
Our website, which is Materia. What is our website?
I think it's Materia Medical Herbal Blending
Bar. Yeah, it is. Yeah, Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar.
.com.
Yep, .com.
Okay, awesome.
I know how to think about that.
Yeah, and so if they want more information, I would encourage them, first of all, to come down because it is beautiful. Do you guys have set hours down there?
We do.
Okay,
we
are
there Tuesday through Friday.
Okay.
And, well, Fridays we are there 10 to 6. Tuesday through Thursday we are there 10 to 7.
Okay.
And on Saturdays we are there 10 to 3.
Okay. So plenty of opportunities for people to come down and check it out and learn more all about the information that you share and the healing that's provided. Any final thoughts from either one of you?
I don't think so.
Nope.
No? Okay. So as you leave here, you will go back to your friendship and talk about world peace and children and partners and everything else, probably. I love it. I will see you guys at the Wellbeing Fest.
Yes.
I plan on being there. I know Walk the Talk's a sponsor of that. It's an exciting event coming up. And again, that's going to be October 28th at the Biltwell Event Center. Those of you who are listening around the country, since we podcast this nationally, I guess worldwide, but I only hear from some of you nationally, check out that website. Again, the website is Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar.com. Karen and Adrian, thank you so much
for being in the studio
with us today.
I appreciate it.
Continuing our theme of wellness, I'd like to share with you now 10 keys to a beautiful life. Number one, the main work of every human being is the inner work. Each day, do something significant to deepen yourself. To have more of the life you truly want, you must first become more of who you truly are. Emerson once said, "What lies before you and what lies behind you are small matters compared to what lies within you. And when you bring what is within out into the world, miracles happen." You know, I'm thinking now about what I just learned from Karen and Adrian, that that beautiful light and love that we have within can be polished up by taking care of our bodies, by eating the right foods, by learning about energy healing, plant medicine. I think both of those things are very powerful to help create that beautiful life. So that's the main thing. The main work of every human being is our inner work. That's our deep work. Number two, see your life as a fantastic growth school. I mean, everything that you experience, both good and challenging, has come to teach you the lesson that you most needed to learn at that particular stage of your evolution as a person. And I know that's sometimes difficult to appreciate, especially when the challenging lessons come in. But I'll tell you, understand this truth and keep asking yourself, what opportunity does this person or this situation represent in terms of your personal growth? Because if you do that, this is a great source of inner peace. I have found that to be true in my own life. Sometimes it's difficult to do, but if we can learn to do that and then flip it and ask that question, what opportunity does this person or situation represent? It can be that source of great inner peace. Number three, this is really all about authenticity, and that is be true to who you are. Be comfortable in your own skin. Be true to yourself, whatever you want to call it, because the best life is the authentic life. It used to be back in the day, neighborhoods would be built up in suburbs and such, and they'd look, all the houses would look the same, like knockoff houses, knockoff neighborhoods. We have to be careful not having knockoff lives, not trying to be like a Kardashian or whoever else you're following, but be uniquely you. Dress like you are uniquely you. Speak like you are uniquely you. Understand your life purpose, if you will, why and what you are uniquely called to. The best life, I've come to believe, is the authentic life. So never betray yourself. Take off your social mask. Have the courage to do that. We all wear them. We've learned to do that to protect ourselves a little bit. But as much as you can, be aware of the masks that you wear when you're out in society amongst other people, and start even one by one slowly and gently taking off your mask. And have the personal bravery to present the real you to the world. If you do that, the world will be richer for it. Four, remember that we collect what we project. Let me share that again. We collect what we project. Our outer lives are nothing more than a mirror image of our inner lives. Pour light on your dark side. Become aware of the false assumptions, limiting beliefs, and fears that are keeping you small, and your exterior world will change. You see, it's always been an inside job. It starts from the inside, then you start seeing the changes on the outside. Number five, we see the world not as it is, but as we are. So know that the truth in any given circumstance is filtered through your personal context. So clean up your glass lens, and you'll clean up your life. See clearly, and you'll clean up your life. And then, and only then, you will see the truth. Number six, try living in your heart. I had a spiritual director once who always would remind me, Richard, get out of your head, into your heart. Get out of your head, into your heart. You know, we tend to process everything, don't we? Especially relationships, maybe work. We're always processing. Get out of your head, into your heart. Live in your heart. Why? Because its wisdom never lies. Follow the quiet promptings of your heart, and you'll be led in the direction of your destiny. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? Follow the quiet promptings of your heart, and you'll be led in the direction of your destiny. And I'll throw this in for free. If you're asking the question, that means you already have the answer. So if you're asking a question about work, asking a question about relationship, asking a question about a number of different things, if it keeps coming up and you're asking, it means you already have the answer. So how do you hear that answer? Quiet the mind. Get out in nature. Practice meditation. But turn off all the noise, all the social media, TV, phone. You've got to do that a little bit every day, preferably in the morning before you start your day. But you do that, and very soon those questions will be answered within yourself. Seven, stand in the curiosity of life. So many times people are trying to find answers. Got to have the black and white answers. That's always been the key to fundamental religion. They got to have the black and white. Life isn't always that way. Life is a mystery. Death is a mystery. Having been involved with hospice, we always called hospice workers midwives to the mystery, because who really knows what's on the other side? Well, life is that way too. Life is filled with twists and changes. John O'Donohue said, and it's my favorite quote, "I'd love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding." That's life, isn't it? I know you know what I'm talking about. So stand in the curiosity of your life, because in surrendering control, you will create a space for possibilities to enter, and by that, treasures to flow. So a little mantra sometimes I use is this: hold the vision, trust the process. Hold the vision and trust the process. 8, care for yourself. You know, everywhere I go, and with every author and spiritual teacher I've had on this program, and I've had a lot of them on, when asked, they will always say the same thing. The number one need is self-love or self-care. We're not taking care of ourselves very well. Adrian and Karen addressed that as well. We've got all of this chatter. We've got all of this self-talk that's not working for us. We beat ourselves down. We're obsessed by fear, and fear will chain your soul and keep you from flying as high and as far as you were destined to be. And there's nothing more beautiful than a soul on fire. So care for yourself. Do something each day to nurture your mind, your body, and spirit. These are the essential acts of self-respect and self-love. And once again, I want to call your attention to go visit MateriaMedicaHerbalBlessingBar.com. Check them out. Go down there in person and get some of the healing that you deserve to free you up to be the person you were called to be. 9, build human connections. That's really key. And you know what? Unfortunately, with Facebook, I have a lot of Facebook friends. I don't know that many of them. So are we really friends? Well, maybe not. We're just Facebook friends. But we need that human connection. We need sometimes people to be in our lives, to be there if we're not holding our dream anymore because we're too tired or too fearful or too depressed. They can hold our dream for us until we're strong enough to hold it ourselves. Build human connections. Dedicate yourself to deepening your bonds with the people around you. Focus on helping others achieve their dreams, and be more concerned with selfless service rather than self-gratification, because you're here to enrich this world, and you betray yourself once you forget this truth. And then finally, leave a legacy, because the deepest longing of the human heart is the need to live for a cause greater than oneself. I teach a course called Why Awareness of Death is a Secret of Life. And one of the things that I say in that is because death has a way of reminding us we don't have forever. All we have is now. I mean this moment, and the precious people who are sharing these moments by moments with us. So, love well, live fully, and learn to let go and enjoy life just a little bit more. We'll have much more of this show, but first, here's another word from our sponsors.
Goddess Mountain Naturals crafts quality salves and balms intended to aid in healing and rejuvenation of the skin and body through properties provided by nature. The various salves help to moisturize your skin, soothe itching caused by bug bites and poison ivy. These salves have been found to ease pain from sore muscles and tendons and aid in the healing of cuts and scrapes. These are remedies that have been used for thousands of years. For more information, you can visit www.goddessmountain.com. That's goddessmountain.com.
Wellness is an active process of becoming more aware and making better choices that move you in the direction of a more successful life. Choices to eat well, move well, and think well enable your body to live well. When your spine is aligned properly, your brain and body are connected. Stillpoint Family Chiropractic is a family wellness center where we focus on your lifestyle and the impact it has on your spine, brain, and your life. Find us on Facebook at Stillpoint Family Chiropractic, or our phone number is 317 863-0365.
In closing the program, here are a couple of encore segments that we've taken out of interviews that I've done with the great Mary Ann Williamson, who wrote the best-selling book Return to Love and so many others, and somebody who I still receive a lot of wisdom from, and that is Father Richard Rohr. So first you're going to hear Mary Ann Williamson, and then about 7 minutes from Father Richard Rohr.
You say also in your book that when we forget that we are love, then we forget to love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That our identity is love, our genuine reality is love, and we are, as it were, hanging out in a realm of consciousness which is alien to our natural being.
Mm-hmm.
Because our natural being is love, and here we are living on a planet dominated by fear. No wonder we feel crazed, neurotic, stressed, like we're aliens in our own on our own planet. No wonder we feel something off inside. It's because something is off in this world.
Mm-hmm. And the mystic has tools available to them, spiritual principles. You equate them to like magic wands. Talk about those wands for a minute.
Well, I'm fascinated by the story of Cinderella and what happens when the fairy godmother shows up and points her wand in the direction of circumstances that then transform because she does. I think that there's a real metaphysical equivalent to this, and that is that a wand is a kind of focused thought or principle. And when you apply the thinking, a certain kind of thinking to a situation, then that situation does transform. So the principles or wands that I talk about in the book, there are five of them.
Mm-hmm.
One is the thought, as you stand within any situation, that no matter what's going on now, a miracle could happen, that I'm open to the possibility of infinite possibility. Number two, the realization that every thought of judgment I think blocks the light. Number three, that we are the angels we're waiting for, that we must become in the circumstances that matter to us, people that display the characteristics of the greatest nobility and virtue and love and blessing. Number four is related to that. It's that the end is inherent in the means, meaning who we become, who we are as people, ultimately determines where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth one is that sacred silence writes the universe, which is just another way of saying that prayer and meditation every day makes all the difference.
And it really begins with law of cause and effect. What we put out will come back to us.
Absolutely.
Where we
That's
place
really
our faith.
The crux of it, isn't it? That's why the golden rule is at the heart of all great religious teaching.
You mention in your book something that I really appreciated, and that is it's our task of our generation to turn love into a social force. Can love be the answer when we are at a point where there's so many interesting things developing throughout the world?
Well, it's not just that love can be the answer, it's that love is the only real answer. You know, military and political solutions can manage the effects of hatred, but they can't dismantle the thought system of hatred. And hatred harnessed is what terrorism is. Terrorism is what's happened because relatively few people have harnessed the power of hate. They've become proactive behind hate. They've trained in ways to express hate. They have an image and a vision of what they want the world to look like, and they're willing to do what it takes to make that happen. Well, the only real antidote to that is for us to do with love what they've done with hate. It's time for us to harness the powers of love, the way Gandhi did, the way Martin Luther King did. We must harness the powers of love. We must stand convicted around love. We must have an image and a vision of what we want the world to look like. We must train, which is what a mystical journey is, in ways of becoming conduits for love. Behind everything that's going on in the world is a great spiritual contest between the ways of fear and the ways of love. And the only way we can really weigh in on the side of love is by seeking to triumph within our own selves, that we might become conduits of it more effectively in our own environments and in the world than we ever have been before.
So really, we're not to ignore what you might call the darkness, but we're to transform it by the light.
Right. There's a difference between denial and transcendence. Denial that just means I'm not going to look at it, that's not transcendent. That's a negative denial. Positive denial is when you're willing to look at something in the eye, but to simply deny its power over you, given that you are a child of God.
Mm-hmm. So how do we raise this consciousness globally in terms of the transforming power of love as a social force?
Well, I don't think that we can try to change other people. I think we begin by making sure that we ourselves are doing as well as we can. And when we do that, it's like God gives you a piece of the garden to tend to. And when you've tended to your own piece of the garden, a bigger piece is given you. So I don't think any of us can, like, set out to take the globe, but we can, we can reclaim our own lives. And as we do so, the capacity that we have within our own lives to be of greatest effect, that begins to just happen automatically.
How much of that, Marianne, is people not understanding just who they are as a child of God?
Well, theoretically, that's everything. Theoretically, that's the essential problem. That's the essential original sin. Sin is an archery term. It means you miss the mark. It means a misperception. So the original misperception is that we've forgotten who we are. We have forgotten that we are creations of an infinitely powerful God who has actually shared that power with us. And when our hearts are aligned with his love and his blessing, then miracles arise automatically out of what we say, what we do, and what we think. And we have been trained to not believe that. And for us to unlearn the thinking of the world and to relearn the thinking of grace, of blessing, of forgiveness, and of love will lift us into another dimension of experience entirely. And as we are lifted, then everything that does not resonate with that falls of its own dead weight.
And that as children of God, which I believe and you believe everybody are, that we're not held back by anything when we remember that identity.
But the interesting thing is it's one thing to believe that. It's one thing to abstractly embrace it as an intellectual concept. It's another thing for that information, for that principle, and for that idea to literally inform your cells, for it to affect your nervous system. And that's why I wrote this particular book, because I notice in myself how sometimes powerful ideas that I'm totally committed to, totally embrace, have not yet reached my nervous system. It's not just that you're some bad person if you don't practice what you preach. It's that it's hard sometimes to practice the ideals that we believe in. And then, so that's the work, I think, that this generation of spiritual seekers is about right now. Not learning new spiritual information. We have the information. God, we've all read the same books. We've all listened to the same tapes. I think the buzz of this moment is, how do I actually manifest this in every area of my life?
In one of your books, you wrote, religion has tended to create people who think they have God in their pockets, people with quick, easy, glib answers. Would you address that further? Because oftentimes these days, it seems that we're hearing those quick, easy, glib answers.
Aren't we? You know, let me put it this way. You know, they say if you want to tell a lie, tell a real big lie, and it works. And that we've been able in the West to take the biblical concept of faith, which clearly means not knowing, living without certitude, clarity, an ability to walk in darkness, an ability to walk at a deeper level of trust, and that we've been able to turn that around and make Christianity into a religion with answers for everything. It creates very inflated egos, and it's not serving religion very well at all. So I think we've turned around the basic foundational meaning of faith, which clearly meant not knowing. And now we got people who know everything, who know who's in and who's out, who's up and who's down, who's saved and who's not saved. It doesn't create the appropriate humility before mystery. And I think a sign of someone who has encountered authentic God experience is that they're always going to be humble. They're not going to be glib and smug.
Well, and that seems to be what's often lacking in activism. Even though I might support what they're doing, if you're not careful and you're not dealing with the ego, it will rise up eventually.
That's right. And that's why this is a problem as much on the left as it is on the right. And they both keep attacking the other side, thinking the devil's on the other side always. And neither side tends to see its own demons, its own, you know, absolute certitude about what is good and what is bad. So it isn't serving us well.
Richard, what do you see as a religious leader yourself? What do you see as the top issues that we need to be addressing in this country? For so long, what we call the religious right has kind of dominated the discussion and have centered around, quote, family values, around the abortion issue, around same-sex marriage. But there is so many more issues that need to come to the forefront that have everything to do with values.
Yeah, it's amazing that we've been able to create, like the two you mentioned, the homosexual issue and the abortion issue, we've been able to create two litmus tests that have not been litmus tests for the first 1900 years of Christianity. It's like, where did these come from as the proof texts of whether you're really a Christian or not?
Mm-hmm.
And as a Catholic who tries to honor the whole tradition, I really want to say, where did that come from? You know, it's dealing with cultural issues and purity codes and needs to feel superior and right, much more than any reliance upon the teaching of Jesus, who never talks about either of those issues, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas almost every other story of Jesus is talking about love of the poor and concern for the poor. And so it's really rather amazing that people who consider themselves followers of Jesus have been able to ignore many of the major things that Jesus talked about.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about what I would consider the radical nature of Jesus that we often don't hear about, but I think we are now more these days, but just how yeah. radical he truly was.
That's it. We churchified, if that's a word, we churchified Jesus, and we took him out of his historical Jewish reformist context, and we pretty much made him a white middle-class American, concerned about the same issues that we're obsessed with or preoccupied with. And once you do that, once you pull him out of his Jewish context as a reformer of his own religion and therefore a reformer of all religion,
mm-hmm.
I think you pretty much have domesticated Jesus. And the things that we are concerned about are very different than the much more radical concerns of his, which have to do with justice, with mercy, with good faith, as one line from the Synoptics says.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also with the poor as well.
Yeah, right on. Well, when I say justice, mm-hmm. that's what I'd mean. Yeah, mm-hmm. concern for the poor.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any issues overriding any others that are taking place in the world today that you deem most important?
You know, this might surprise you, and I don't know if on longer reflection I'd say the same thing, but this is what comes to my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think our biggest problem is superficiality.
Mm.
Is just an amazing preoccupation with silliness, with issues of no account, with you know, the lives of movie stars, and I think this superficiality is leading us to miss the heart of most issues,
mm-hmm.
because we just don't go deep.
Mm-hmm.
We settle for cliches, for one-liners, for very quick explanations for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to kill us across the board, because in every issue, there's just no depth. So that's what strikes me. You know, that's what allows us not to see the evil of war, not to see the global warming issue as a moral issue, not to see the oppression of the poor as a moral issue. It's just that we're not bad people, I don't think. We're just not very deep people.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you, and I think a lot of what we see on the news, especially there's a gluttony of entertainment news, is basically numbing us to sleep.
Sometimes, I mean, it's the second or third thing on, as if the rest of the world doesn't matter. For example, we have a woman here on our staff who's a work intern for a year and was very aware of the recent typhoon in the Philippines, where she lost everything and lost much of her family, and whole cities were wiped off the map. Most of us are totally unaware that that has happened twice now in the last 10 days.
Hmm.
While we're preoccupied with Tom Cruise's wedding. I mean, it really it's rather sad.
I want to thank my special guest, Karen Burr, who's also, along with Sarah Redman, co-owner of Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar, their website, MateriaMedicaHerbalBlendingBar.com, and good friend, Adrienne Villegas, who also works there, but also is an independent contractor herself with Healing Touch Practice and an amazing intuitive. Thank you so much for tuning in today. That is today's program. Our website is richardbrendan.org. A reminder that all shows are podcast on that site. And so, for the dynamic engineer, Aaron Duvall, and the angelic production coordinator, Angel Richardson, I'm Richard Brendan. We're just bringing love to life, one broadcast at a time.